This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
Good Saturday morning. You've got Green and Growing on your radio right now, 95.5 WSB. Ashley Frasca here with you for the next 3 hours. And you know what I've been doing over the last month or so? Giving you a heads up for farmers markets in your town, in your city, that you should be able to visit coming up this spring and this summer and enjoy with the family. What a nice way to start a Saturday morning, for sure. So this week, I'm highlighting the Canton Farmers Market up where I am in Cherokee County. And I've got Valinda Hardy with me. She's the Downtown Canton Development Manager and in charge of the farmers market. Hey, Valinda, good morning.
Good morning.
This is one that's been around for quite a while, and downtown Canton has just been rejuvenated, looks great, has a parking deck now. It's really grown over the last 10 to 15 years, hasn't it?
It has. I've actually been here in Canton since March of 2019. That's when I took the reins of the farmers market. We at one time had it in Canton Park, and everyone loved that. It was right along Main Street. And the pandemic is what made us make a switch over to Brown Park. By doing that, it gave us a lot of grass. It gave us a lot of trees. It gave us a playground for the kids, picnic tables, permanent restroom. It gave us an opportunity for the growers to actually pull their trucks up, pop their tent and their table to their tailgate, because that's the way a farmer's market is supposed to happen. We have different activities throughout the month. The first Saturday of every month, we have Horizon Healing Yoga. They come and they offer a complimentary yoga class for the first hour. So it's just a little bit of the best of everything. And the History Museum is just right there, steps away. The parking deck, like you mentioned, people say there's nowhere to park close by. The parking deck is right there for you. And then once they finish, they can go have lunch at one of our downtown businesses, do some shopping. It just makes for a really nice Saturday.
It really does. And, you know, keep in mind, folks, farmers markets provide a place for farmers and growers to sell their goods directly to consumers and give folks an idea for alternative shopping and bringing the community together, every age, every race, everybody just enjoying a Saturday morning. So for the Canton Farmers Market there in downtown Canton, Valinda, when can we start shopping?
On June 1st. A lot of times people say, well, gosh, you know, you start so late. But what we did is we really checked with the growers and asked, when do you have product? And when we say that, I mean, we want the tables to be as full as possible. We want to start off with a bang. We don't want to start off with a fizzle. First of all, people expect to walk in and see tomatoes on June 1st. And we just don't live in a place that that happens. So we kind of take our cue from them. And I remember last year, it was so fun. Everyone, the anticipation was being built weekly and then daily and then hourly. And then you could feel it. You could feel the excitement as people were coming. We had a fresh load of farmers market bags that we were giving out. We had a market bag sponsor, and they were standing at the opening. And you could just feel it. You could feel the electricity. Everybody was so excited to see their friends again, because that's what we truly are to me. Our market vendors were family, and so they were able to see their family again. And you know, I don't know, it's just really cool. You've seen, especially some of the vendors that have had kids and they've grown up with us, yeah. And you get to see all that. It's just a really great morning, and it's like you said, it builds community. They use this as an outing. When it was during the pandemic, it was one of those things where we did ask, you know, grab what you need. And then we didn't ask people to linger as much because we were trying to follow those guidelines. But now we're like, hey, linger longer. So we have music playing. We'll have some special activities for the kids that we've had. We're going to have those again this summer. We'll have some chefs out. they'll take some of the things that the growers have brought, and then they'll go over there and they'll create things with that, because maybe I don't know what to do with zucchini. But once you show me how to make something really great for my family that my kids will really like, I'm going to buy a lot of zucchini from you. And that's always the plan.
And now that people have time to prepare, since it starts in June, are you looking for new vendors, or are you pretty much full on vendors?
We always are looking for new vendors. One of the things I love to have, and we always are excited to offer, is, like chicken and fish and the meats and things like that. Because sometimes you are able to get the veggies that you want at the market, but then you're back at the grocery store. And last year we had a young family here that offered chicken, and it was so nice to take that home. And you knew where it came from. You knew that it wasn't full of the antibiotics and all the things that we really don't want to give our kids. And so we were really happy to offer that to the community. And then Zach Kale with Going Coastal, They were out every Saturday with fresh fish, and they kept a line. He would offer ideas of how to cook that, give you the special seasonings and things like that. So, yeah, any type of meats and things like that, definitely always the produce. When people say you have too much, you never have too much, because variety is great. And again, having that variety, those different types of the beans and the potatoes and the squash, the zucchini, the tomatoes, of course, all of that, the greens, people come and they fill those market bags full. And I love this because they'll go home and they'll take a snapshot of everything on their counter. I know I do that. And you just kind of show off your haul, so to speak. I mean, you show everybody what you brought home. And then people are like, oh, my gosh, tell me about that. Who did you get that from? Of course, the folks that do all of the baking, we love that, because sometimes we live in such a fast-paced life that we don't get to do some of the baking that we would like to do. So we do have the folks here that have the sweets and the breads and things like that. But yeah, anyone that is interested, they can definitely go to our Farmers Market page, our Canton Farmers Market Facebook page. We've also got a link on the ExploreCantonGA.com website, and also the city website, the City of Canton website, CantonGA.gov. So we have a link on all of those spots for people to get the application. We love for folks to join us.
And when you search Facebook, make sure to search Canton GA Farmers Market to find the right one. And as Valinda mentioned, CantonGA.gov for all of the details on the Canton Farmers Market, which is going to be set up beginning in June throughout the summer. Valinda Hardy, Downtown Development Manager there in Canton, thank you so much for the update. And you've got us looking forward to warmer weather.
I know. I can't wait. Thank you.
And again, if you want to find a community farmers market near you, go to the Georgia Department of Agriculture's website. Just Google it, Georgia Department of Agriculture. The website pops up, and then in the search bar, type farmers markets, and you'll come up with the 5 or 6 state farmers markets, but also the community farmers markets, like the one in Canton, that are registered with the state. Some have different months of the year that they're open. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy bringing you those conversations. So thanks again to Valinda. 404-872-0750. Want to hear from you today. And guess what? Beginning at 7 o'clock, Clint Waltz from the University of Georgia, the Griffin campus turf grass specialist, will join me 2 full hours for us to talk about your lawn, your grasses, anything you might have on your mind, or things that you maybe want to do this summer to have a nice lawn. Clint will help us out. Our friend Nicole down in Griffin, speaking of Griffin, joins us on the phone. Hey, good morning.
Sorry.
Oh, there she is. Hello. What's going on?
I was fighting with a cat. That's why. Our Shadow's doing good.
Shadow is great. We had a little scare 2 weeks ago. Shadow ate all of her pain pills in one sitting. She got the bottle off the counter ate 22 pain/anti-inflammatory pills. I had to rush her to the vet. She was okay. It helps when you're 130 pounds, as opposed to being a little dog, right?
Oh, boy.
I know. She gave us a scare, but she's really good, and she's been spoiled ever since.
So do they go to the bathroom a lot after that, after all those pills?
Yeah, they induced vomiting just to get it out of her system. We kept a close eye on her that weekend. Hey, Nicole, I don't know if you heard the piece about the farmers markets, but that makes me think of you, because we met up at the farmers market so many years ago down there in Forest Park. Do you still do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You see, I work maybe a mile from there. So every morning I have a little time. I go, and I feed a lot of chicken. So I go in the dumpster and try to find the green stuff,
For the chickens?
Yes.
Yeah.
No farmer, no food. That's the bottom line.
That's right. That's right. Well, what is on your radar? I was going to be talking about all the flowering trees and the different spring colors we're seeing. What's on your mind?
Mr. Reese sent me a card.
Oh, nice.
About this garden, you know, the flower in this garden.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know snowflake. I didn't know what it was. So I look in my book, you know. But anyway, he's really good. He sent me a letter. And but anyway, changing subject. Let's talk about, I go a lot out of state this time of the year. And at the end of Georgia, when you cross, you know, to South Carolina, there's daffodil heaven. Ah, you should see how many daffodil there is.
On the side of I-85?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
In between when you cross the Hartwell Lake,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, do you remember last year of 675, he was doing the traffic, and all those people that were stopping to take picture of those flowers?
The wildflowers on 675, like in Ellenwood, I remember that.
Yeah, everywhere, every state, the best one, I think it's North Carolina. They grow sunflower, and when they're done, it is such a sight to see. When they're done, they collect the sunflower seed, you know, but you should see all the birds, you know. I think North Carolina is the best to, they have a Cosmo.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, those things, they can get you a show, you know.
Cosmos are beautiful, kind of that pinkish purple color.
Yes, I'll kind of call it white and purple, and they put a lot of money to, because you need to seed them every year, you know. Maybe not the daffodil, you know. Do you have daffodil in your garden?
We do. They were established at the house when we bought it in 2011, and I've not done a darn thing. I've not divided them. I've not moved them, and they are just great. We've got some white ones. We've got yellow. We've got a few different varieties, and they're easy, but once folks start calling and asking, why aren't mine blooming? You know, you get the foliage, but you don't get the blooms. I say that's maybe when it's time to move them, and just make sure when you move them around the yard, you don't bury them back too deeply. And also just make sure once they're, you know, they're going to start to fade here in the next few weeks and the flowers will be done, but keep that foliage above ground. Don't mow over it. Don't cut it. That needs all the sunlight it can get until it starts to wither away to kind of recharge the bulb so that you know it's going to bloom next year.
Yeah, it recharges the battery, but tell him it needs to be full sun.
Yeah. Yeah, they do really well in full sun, don't they? Absolutely.
Yeah, because they said the shade, I have some too, needs to be divided. They didn't bloom this year. But I know they are so tied together, there is no energy for them to bloom. There are some new variety, all kind of colors, isn't it? Yellow and mixed with orange, with white, different daffodil. They mix, University of Georgia, it's pretty good. I make a lot of... new things, you know, you just take the thing and you shake it and mix it with something else, you know. Are you done with the hours from the
Master Gardener?
Yeah.
Haven't really gotten too many done this year. This month has been crazy busy, but at least Master Gardeners have an entire year to complete their 25 hours worth of community work to stay up on their certification, so I'm not too worried. But it's funny, Nicole, you didn't even do this on purpose, I don't think, but the fact that you mentioned everything along the side of the highway and then in the breath right before mentioned Walter Reeves, when I worked for him on the Lawn and Garden Show on this show for 8 years, and I was trying to identify plants and I was trying to become familiar with things, he had me create what we called highway horticulture. And it was a photo album when I could just pop around town wherever I was driving. Like you said, those people pulled over on the side of 675. I wouldn't recommend that. But I would take pictures of trees and things, especially in the spring as I saw them. And I'd bring them back to Walter and go, okay, what's this? What's this? And together we would identify everything. And I still have those photos on the Facebook page now. I've held on to them for all these years. I've taken new ones, of course. And folks can see that on Facebook. I just recently shared it, Highway Horticulture. And if you see whatever's right now purple blooming and you don't know what it is, well, there's wisteria coming on. There's still some tulip magnolias. There's red buds that are looking great. So hopefully that Highway Horticulture album will help a lot of folks, you know, identify things that we take for granted that we know what they are every spring when we see them flower.
Yeah, because this time, like, the green this time of the year is going to take a while before they, you know, bloom and everything. But, boy, that's a lot of work. You have to take all the tractor and mix up, you know. But
Nicole, you hang tight 1 minute because I want to ask you for a favor when we get on the other side of the break. When we come back, the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend and a weather update. So stay close. You're listening to 95.5 WSB.
Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca. Here's your garden to-do list this week.
All right, my friend Nicole from Griffin, you hang tight. I got number one, number two taken care of. I'm going to put the pressure on you to do number three. Number one, hostas can be dug up and divided right now before the leaves unfurl. You see them coming out of the ground, and it's going to be easy to see where to get a shovel in between. Watch for slugs and snails and apply a bait as needed for control. That way you enjoy the leaves. Number two, keep an eye on your seedlings indoors. Don't forget about them. They need consistent light and moisture. And now at this point that they're growing tall, or have a fan on the lowest setting just to circulate that air to prevent damping off. If that happens to the seedlings, they are done. Nicole, what are you doing this weekend? What's number three?
Oh, I have a full list. This week, the one day this week, I did all all the weeds that got in the top. If it's green, it's no grass. It's oh, rats. There were so many of them. Especially if your neighbor don't mow his lawn, all the seed come on your side.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right.
The daylily, they need to be separated because they grow too tight, and then you can put them everywhere.
So you, just like I recommended folks move and divide hostas if they need to, you would go ahead
same
and do
thing,
that to daylilies now?
Same thing. And because yesterday it rained, it's time to turn the soil. This clay is no good. Just amend, amend, amend. Because if you replant some stuff like last year in the clay, no good.
Now, how do you amend the soil? What do you use?
Well, you see, I go to a yard, a wood yard, okay, and I can back up my pickup truck, and I'll tell me, take as much as you want. You need to choose the one that's been there for 10 or 15 years.
Huh.
And look, if there's worm in it, it's good soil. No worm, no good.
The worms are a good indicator. Well, hey, Nicole, we got to run here soon, but I'm so glad you called. Folks have missed you on Facebook. They ask about you, and I know you're working just as hard as me driving around out there, so be careful.
Enjoy your day.
Oh, you too. Check in soon. I love talking about daylilies. It is certainly time to start thinking about those. Chris in Canton has a question about how to prune pear trees, and I want to share a fun experience with all of you that I had last week. Southern Living Plant Collection invited me out to a beautiful setting. Their road show, they traveled to Atlanta, Birmingham, and some other cities. I got to have a really good conversation. You wouldn't believe how social media impacts the garden industry. You'll learn about that next. It's Green and Growing on WSB.
Caterpillar to a butterfly.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
Hey guys, Green and Growing on the road, a self-prescribed field trip on a beautiful early spring day, I think it's safe to say that, on a road show with Garden Media Group. And you've heard Becky Paxton on the show before, and I got to meet her in person. Hey!
Hey, Ashley, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming out today.
Describe this event. This is amazing.
We are having our traveling road show. We're going across some of our favorite cities in the Southeast with Southern Living Plant Collection and Oasis Forage Products. And we are showing what is new and best for this spring in the garden.
And you can definitely tell with the displays, with color, with the excitement, folks are building their own bouquets. And Katie Dubow, also with Garden Media Group, how did y'all have the vision for an event like this?
One of our visions is to bring plants to as many people as we can. And so this is the way that we can bring two great companies, Southern Living Plant Collection and Oasis Forage Products, to really give people the confidence to get out in their yards, grow more plants, and forage from them. And so we know that Atlanta is such a hub for some of the best gardeners. And so we wanted to come here to have this gathering of the minds.
And hopefully I do my fair share in passing this along to the listeners, the excitement, the good job you guys do promoting great plants, quality people. We've had Kip McConnell. We've had Jim Putnam of Horttube. We've had Buddy Lee of Encore Azaleas, all thanks to you all. And Becky, something else you've done with me over the years on the show, which I'm so grateful, because when I was starting off 4 years ago, it was a little rocky, but you helped throw me great ideas. And one of the things you all do at Garden Media Group is follow social trends. Talk about how kind of that's a fun job.
We love it. Social media is a place that, and Ashley gave me this information that 4 in 10 Americans are now going to get inspiration for their gardens. We at Garden Media Group thought to ourselves, you know, that's a two-way street. We really should be checking social media, seeing what folks from all around the world are doing in the garden. That's a new, fresh idea. And so every month we screen 5 million social media posts and videos, and we look for things like, it's spring, what kinds of designs are new, what new products and materials, how are people using these in a new and different way, and we come up with some really interesting and sometimes unusual findings.
Katie, I will say I do rely on you all for the work you do as an organization to follow social trends. This one survey that I found that I brought up to Becky was a survey conducted by One Poll on behalf of True Green, but it found that birding and pollinator gardens, vertical gardens are among some of the top trends from 2023. And I want to know if that's kind of consistent with what you all find, but also where you get your information from.
Oh, it's very consistent. People who are gardening for the birds and the bees for pollinators has more than doubled since 2019. And that's according to the National Gardening Survey. So we are seeing that. I don't even really call native plant gardening or pollinator gardening a trend anymore because so many people are doing it. But, you know, we do a lot of research. So here we are talking to some of the best gardeners in the country. We talk to fashion designers because it's not just always what's trending in the garden. These things trickle down. You were talking about social media. You know, we look outside of our industry to see what things are going to come and affect the change here in our industry. And so we do a lot of research, and there's a little bit of tea leaf reading too, little crystal ball, because we've been doing trends for 23 years. So we've been producing an annual trends report. There's some things we just know are going to take off.
I was going to ask that because my show coincided with COVID. My show began in 2020 when COVID, I mean, definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but at that time, I was made more aware of the power of social media as it pertains to gardening. People were at home with a little more money in their pocket. They were looking for inspiration. They went to social media, but you've been in this business much longer than me. Social media has always been there.
Yeah.
But do you feel like it became more of an influence after 2020?
Absolutely. We got 18 million gardeners. So the studies say, I think there were even more over the pandemic. And you have some great research from even the last, you know, it grew over the pandemic and we got to keep them because some of the research Becky has done about YouTube. And about how the growth is still showing on YouTube. So it shows that people are maybe finding inspiration on some of the more visual platforms like Instagram, but then they say, but I need to learn. So I'm going to go to this longer form video platform like YouTube to actually find out how big do I actually need to dig that hole? How much water does it need? How much fertilizer? Can this grow in my zone? And so it's interesting to see the pandemic brought a bunch of new gardeners to us, but social media has really kept them.
Exactly what Katie just said, Becky. I did my research, and you all at Garden Media Group found that last year, garden and houseplant content on YouTube exploded, much to Katie's point, maybe. How-tos, right? Folks just need that extra little vote of confidence. This is how you do it. You can do it.
They do. And you know, they also are finding community on YouTube. You can see folks engaging with one another in the comments. They're asking their favorite creators their top questions. And those creators are reciprocating. And they're saying, hey, y'all, in my comments this week, I got 100 questions about when should I prune my hydrangeas? Is this the week? So let's go ahead and break that down. Here's what you should be doing and when you should be doing it. So we're almost finding that people are finding fellowship online in these new spaces. And that's something that we really didn't see before the pandemic in a meaningful way.
Spring is your season. Like you said, you're hitting the road with this. So tell me one piece of encouragement that you would tell folks that maybe have stepped away from gardening or they're becoming new to it this spring, something to encourage them. Go for it. You want to be in these trends.
This is the year. If you have not started gardening yet, if you have been looking with envy on your neighbor's yard saying, mine could never look like that, I don't know how to do this, there has never been a better year for you to get started. And I'll tell you why. It's that, especially during the pandemic, a lot of the companies and growers and farmers who produce plants, they really doubled down on plants that solve problems in the landscape. They have said the hot and sunny places in America are getting hotter and sunnier, and folks who are dealing with deep shade, maybe they're in a very tightly packed urban environment where there's a lot of buildings nearby, that's not changing anytime soon. So how can we create and put plants on the market that help you be more successful? I know here today we're looking at Southern Living Plant Collection has a plant, Mountain Snow Pieris, that thrives in full shade, and it produces this spray of beautiful white flowers. flowers. So if you're like in full shade saying, oh, I can't grow flowers, well, there is hope. There is hope. And then likewise, if you're in a space that just roasts in the summer sun, well, we've got Sunshine Ligustrum out here. You can practically hit that thing with a flamethrower and it's going to look great. And so it's really companies during the pandemic saying, you know what? 18 million people want to start this hobby. We want to help them keep this hobby. How can we help them be successful? So that's why this is the year.
I love it. Garden Media Group hosting a roadshow today. And Katie, I'll ask you one more thing too. What do you all learn from partnerships with Southern Living Plant Collection, with Oasis Forage, about some of the amazing work and propagation and cultivation they're doing to satisfy what gardeners want?
Well, I think that that's the great thing about social media is that it's a two-way conversation now where the public is telling us what they need. And then we can pass that back to our partners who can actually breed plants now for containers because so many more people are growing in containers. So we're going to make our plants a little smaller because they're more dwarf and they can grow in a container. So we get to really have that two-way conversation. We get to pass the trends back to our clients who then get to change what they are doing to satisfy the needs. The Oasis Forage line is actually for people to have more success and confidence in cutting flowers from their garden. So we want people to grow more plants, clip them, and bring them indoors because we know that gardening brings happiness, and we want more people to have that.
And guys, I just had Dr. Alan Armitage on the show from the University of Georgia, and cut flowers are definitely a thing. Yes. The need and the love for them is out there. His newest book came out in the month of March. Where can folks see some of the great pictures from this road trip?
You can check our social media account at Southern Living Plant Collection. We'll have tons. If you are a fan of what's new and next in the garden industry in general, you can check us out on Instagram at Garden Media.
And follow Oasis Forage products for inspiration on how to cut and forage your own flowers.
Ladies, congratulations on a successful event. We're going to miss you when you leave Atlanta in one day, but have fun across the U.S.
Oh, we will. We're so excited to be here.
Thank you.
It's been so long since I've gotten to go on a field trip, and I had such a great time with Becky and with Katie. And check out the Facebook page. Maybe in just a little bit I'll have a chance to throw up some of the photos that I took with them at this setup at their roadshow for the Southern Living Plant Collection. We've got Purple Pixie, Laura Pedlum, Sunshine Ligustrum for the landscape. You heard Becky mention the Pieris that's beautiful. I didn't know what it was, and now I know. We had a good time, and then we got to make cut flower arrangements, too. So I tried my hand at that. Wasn't the prettiest arrangement, but we had company last weekend. So it was just enough to make the house look nice, and then I had to throw it away. I didn't do a good job. But you all would do a much better job. I trust your hands at that. 404-872-0750. Chris in Canton has been patiently holding. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome. I just took a road trip, too. So.
Where did you go?
In Canton to Hiram. I've been waiting.
All right. Out west and back. I got it. Well, how can I help you today?
Hey, about 2 or 3 years ago, I talked to you. I had pear trees, and they had so much fruit on them, and they were just unbelievably good. But you told me to start removing some of it, and I did because they were just overloaded. Mm-hmm. They ended up splitting anyway, and I lost over half the trees. They look like a weeping willow with fruit, and I just couldn't maintain the weight. So after they split, that's probably been maybe either 2 or 3 years back, they're coming back strong. But the problem is, well, I don't know about a problem, but they got like, they're about 10 feet high, but I'm looking at the tops, and there's no way they're going to be able to withstand any more fruit. They're not doing anything. I'm going to ask you, should I just take the fruit off again? But I'm just trying to figure out how to prune them where they can withstand, you know, in the years to come.
Yeah, and it's kind of a two-step process. And I learned what I know about fruit tree pruning from Josh Fooder, our county extension agent there in Cherokee County, Chris. He just happens to be super, super interested in apples and pears and has some in his yard. Pruning not only is important in thinning out the fruit, yes, so the tree can bear the weight load, but also training is so important in those first 2 or 3 years as the pear trees are growing. And by training, I mean forcing the branches to grow out in such a way that they're almost more horizontal so that they can bear the weight better. These upright branches that just go totally vertical have a harder time. So he had like spacers in between the larger limbs that literally is pushing those limbs outward, forcing them to kind of grow more at a you know, 45 degree angle, so to speak, outward, like parallel with the ground, that's going to be really beneficial too. Now, I don't remember how old you said yours are, but you still could have an opportunity to prune out the stuff in the middle, keep the stronger branches, and allow them to kind of shape in such a way, if they're not too, if the girth isn't too big at this point, to be able to train them to hold the weight. Thinning, though, is still really important. You have fewer pairs, but they're going to be better quality when you thin them out. And I know it's just like, oh, well, I'll give them to the deer, give them to the rabbit, something else. The pruning, too, two times each year, dormant winter pruning, like late winter. I was out there with Josh in January. Late winter, early spring pruning to really knock it back. And then summer pruning, what that is going to be is just kind of deinvigorating the plant, so to speak, reducing the amount of carbohydrates being stored. And summer pruning, just removing water sprouts and suckers to allow for like less vegetative growth, less of those branches that are going to be too small to produce anything. If you'll hang on, Chris, you know, you and I spoke off air and I want to do that again. I want to email you the stuff that I've got, resources for you to kind of make for a better shaped tree, but also maybe get in touch with Josh if he's able to come around and do some site visits from time to time and kind of take a look at your trees and have a look at maybe what could be done a little bit better so they can bear the fruit load. That's going to be so beneficial for you down the road. So hang tight. What I'm going to send you is from the University of Georgia. It's an extension publication with charts, diagrams, and all of that of how to go about doing this. And two different varieties that you may want to try if you're interested in doing more pear trees. So thanks for the call. Hang tight. 404-872-0750. When we come back, top three things to do in the landscape this weekend. You're listening to Green and Growing on WSB. The update on the weekend weather brought to you by Finley Roofing. I've got some good news. Those scattered morning rain showers are going to move out. It's going to stay cloudy for the afternoon with a high around the mid-60s. Mostly sunny. Better weather for tomorrow. High of around 68 and then cloudy and more rain into the week and the beginning of the work week, maybe coming in on Tuesday. Stay up to date for the latest forecast from meteorologist Christina Edwards.
Green and Growing. Ashley Frasca's top three things to do this weekend.
All right, time to put out the hummingbird feeders. If you haven't already, hummingbirdcentral.com is a really good website to track their migration, and I think they're here. From Trees Atlanta, this was interesting, attract ruby-throated hummingbirds, plant native flowering plants like bee balm. They also suggested something tubular with that tubular flower like scarlet sage. And sweetbush. Sweetbush is a shrub that releases a sweet fragrance that attracts hummingbirds and butterflies and bees and all those other things. And it will grow in full sun to total shade. That's really interesting. Another tree that you could consider, notice this is a trend, everything red. Red buckeye is a tree that blooms in March and April in Georgia, coincides with spring migration of the ruby-throated hummingbird. And when you make your own food for the hummingbird feeders, you just want to do 4 parts water to 1 part sugar. And it has to be that pure granulated sugar, none of this Splenda stuff or the stevia or anything like that, just pure sugar. Make your own food and you don't have to put the food coloring in it. Number two, hostas can be dug up and divided before the leaves unfurl. Watch for slugs and snails and apply bait as needed for control so you enjoy your hostas this summer. And number three, keep an eye on your seedlings indoors. They still need that consistent light and moisture to be able to get strong enough to put outside around tax day. We still have about another month before it's safe to put those outside. And it's important to use a fan on the lowest setting. I learned that from Joe Lample, Joe Gardner, to prevent damping off. You want that air to circulate around the seedlings so they can stay healthy and strong. And once, if you have damping off, it ruins them. Your seedlings are done. 404-872-0750. Get your calls in for Clint Waltz, turf grass specialist. We're going to help you with your lawn next on 95.5 WSB.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.